Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I'm reading to you Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe in God. I believe in the majesty of God, the glory of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the endurance of God. I believe that God is a daily help, a constant source of comfort, and the supplier of all of my needs. I believe in God. In this passage of Scripture, the Hebrew writer has stated that those who come to God must believe that He is. Not only must we believe that He is, but we must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God must be diligently sought. We must make God the priority of our life. We must seek to please God above everything else. We have come from God. Therefore, we must praise God, honor God, and give God the occupancy of our heart. We must devote ourselves to Him, live in the manner that He has directed us to live, walk according to His divine will, and God will reward those who seek Him. He is the provider of life. He is the sustainer of life. He provides a constant source of help and strength and comfort in the lives of those who seek Him. I believe in God. I believe in God as the Creator. Genesis 1, verse 1, this is the beginning, opening statement of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God made the heaven and the earth from nothing. There was absolutely nothing. Nothing existed. Nothing was present. And God created the heaven and the earth. What you and I know today as the heaven and the earth is the creation of God. I believe that God is the divine mind, the divine power behind the universe and all that is therein. I believed Him to be the Creator. I do not believe that we are here by happenstance or by accident. I do not believe that we have come into existence by a mere freak of nature, but rather I believe that there is a designing mind, a controlling force behind the creation of heaven and earth, and I choose to believe that that divine force is God. I believe God to be the Creator. I see the fashion of the universe. I see the precision of the universe. I see man, this creature that has been made after the image of God, who has been given an immortal soul, who has called upon God to praise Him and honor Him. I believe in God as the Creator. In Psalms 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. As we behold the heaven and the earth, as we look into the starry sky at night, as we behold the sun in all of its brilliance, we see that this creation declares the glory of God. The very precision of the universe, the exactness of all of its workings, declare unto us that God is the Creator. I choose to look into the heavens and behold the stars. I choose to look at the mountains and the lakes. I choose to look at the death of winter and the resurrection of spring. I see as everything begins to blossom and grow and mature, that there is a divine mind, I choose to believe in God. Acts 17 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul has come to Athens. He is on a missionary journey, going from place to place, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire in preaching the gospel is to entice human beings to give themselves to God and to the salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. I would urge that of you today. I would encourage you to examine the God of the Bible. We would know nothing of God were it not for the Bible. We could not know that there is a God. We see the power of God. We see the majesty of God, the glory of God, the working of God in the universe, but we do not see God. No human eye has looked upon God. In the Bible, we come to know God. Paul went from place to place preaching God. He went to many societies and cultures where there were idols. People were worshiping something that they did not know, that they could not understand. And it was Paul's desire and the design of the gospel today to present the God who is the creator and the sustainer and the provider and the giver. Paul is in Athens, Acts 17 and verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The nature of God cannot be contained. We cannot build a temple. The Old Testament prophet said that Israel is building temples and hath forgotten God. We have many magnificent structures in our society today where people enter and worship. Some worship God, some worship other things. Many worship material things. But we do not, God is not contained in that temple. God is in his universe. We can go into a house of worship and we can offer our praise and our thanksgiving to God. We can give glory to his wonderful name. But he does not dwell in temples made with hands. Paul said, you cannot contain God. God is everywhere. God is in everything. He made the heaven and all things that are in. He created the world and everything. The seas, the forest, the mountains, the lakes, the canyons, the valleys. All that roams upon the earth, the birds that fly in the heavens, the beasts that wander through the forest, man that lives in the towns and the cities and in the countryside. God has created all things. Everything that is in the world itself, is the divine handiwork of the Almighty God. And he is Lord of heaven and earth. This is his universe. He controls his universe. He brought the universe into existence, and at a given time, he will take the universe out of existence. He is Lord of heaven and earth. God is the controller of all things. We must recognize and understand the power of God, but we must also see in the universe the beauty of God and the majesty of God. We must have a desire as we behold the creation to serve this supreme being, this grand master of all of creation. In Acts chapter 14, at verses 15 through 17, Paul had said, sirs, why do you these things? They were falling down and worshiping Paul and Barnabas. Why do you do that? We also are men of like passions with you. All men are simply men. Men are not to be worshipped. Men are not to be honored, one above the other. Paul and Barnabas were not to be worshipped because of some miracle that they were able to perform, for that ability had come to them by God. We are men of like passions with you. We preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God. That's the message of the Bible. That's the truth of the gospel. We are to turn from the vanities of life unto the true and living God. Today you need to leave the vain course of empty living and come to know God, the Creator of the universe. You need to surrender your soul, your heart, your life, the devotion of your spirit to the God who has created you. He is the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. God has given witness. God has declared testimony that he is God, that he lives. He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. The God of the Bible is a God who gives. Serve him, honor him. Romans 1:19-20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Humanity has no reason to refuse service to God. Because in the things that are made, in the world itself, in the creation, God has made known his eternal power and Godhead. The world and everything that is in the world, the universe, can only be explained by the divine power of the creation of the Almighty God. I believe in God as Creator. I believe in God as Savior. I believe God desires to save man. The Bible teaches that man is lost in sin. When we look at the world, we can see the evidence of sin. We can see the wayward nature of man. We can see in our own life, if we look closely and if we are honest with ourselves, that we have flaws, we have misgivings, we fail. In the Bible, God has given a divine law by which man is to live and conduct his life. When man does not live according to this pattern, this standard that has been delivered and preserved by the power of God through the Holy Spirit, we sin. The Bible presents us as sinners. We see in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 the beginning of sin in the world. Adam and Eve, the created couple of God, placed in that marvelous garden, were tempted by the devil to do what God had told them not to do. And since that day, man has continued to do what God has told him not to do. And so God desires to save man. In John 3:16-17, we have this beautiful passage of Scripture. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world had fallen. Sin had taken control of the world. Humanity was living in rebellion, disobedience to the will of God. Humanity had become ungodly and sinful and immoral. And we see the evidence of all of that today. All of the ugliness that is created by man, performed by man, is the result of sin. Man is ugly to other people. We violate the rights of other people. We murder, we rape. We steal sin. That is the prevalence of sin. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, And the reason that God gave his Son was for the sole purpose that we would not perish, but rather that we could have everlasting life. Would you not prefer to have everlasting life than to perish in everlasting destruction? That is the choice that all of us must make. We either choose to live forever or we choose to die forever. We will be eternally blessed or we will be eternally cursed. God sent Jesus into the world to save us, to deliver us, to pardon us from the curse of sin, and to give us the opportunity to know him and to live under the cover of his salvation. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world. God is Savior. We can only be saved by the power of God, by the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. We can only be delivered from the curse of sin by the grace of God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross so that we might live, so that we might be saved from sin, delivered from iniquity. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What does this reconciliation mean for us? Sin separates us from God. Sin drives us away from God. God does not have fellowship with sin. You remember in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, he drove out the man and the woman. He removed them from his presence because they had violated his will. But God sought to bring us back into his fellowship. God sought to deliver us from sin so that we might live in fellowship with him, being guarded by his grace and his love. That is reconciliation. Reconciliation means that we can return to God. We can know God. We can walk in harmony with the will of God. And God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he had given to the Apostle Paul and to those who preached the gospel the word of reconciliation. Preachers today preach reconciliation. I preach that you, as a sinner, can come to God. You can obey his gospel. You can know him and the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You can walk in his salvation. You can dwell in confidence that he has delivered you from sin and has saved you. That is the word of reconciliation. We call that the gospel. Why do we preach the gospel? Because souls are lost in sin, and God wants us to be saved. He wants every individual to be saved. He wants all men to come into him. And so God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and rather than imputing or holding us responsible for our transgressions, he chose to forgive us and to renew us and to restore us. Titus 1:2-3, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but in these last times, due times, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Paul went forth preaching according to the commandment of God. God had snatched Paul, who was then Saul, out of the bondage of sin. He was a persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was injuring the church by committing disciples to prison. He was blaspheming the name of God. And God snatched him out of the peril of sin, out of the darkness of evil, and placed him into the ministry, manifesting his word through preaching. God presents His Word through preaching. Many people consider that to be foolishness. But that is the wisdom of God. That is the working of God. This is the manner in which God has chosen to save men. And He says, God our Savior. God is Creator, but God is Savior. He is the only one that can save your soul and redeem you from sin. Allow Him to do that. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. God is our Savior, and Jesus Christ is to be our Lord. God, through Christ, made possible the redemption of sin, the forgiveness of sin. This, according to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, was according to the riches of His grace. God is so rich in grace that He sent Jesus into the world, and He was an offering for sin so that God could be our Savior and deliver us from sin. I believe in God. I believe He is the only answer, the only solution for the problems of wickedness and evil in the world of today. I believe that He is the Savior of my soul, the Redeemer of my soul. I believe God is Savior. I believe in God as Father, in the reconciliation provided through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in my obedience to the gospel. The gospel must be obeyed. I must respond to the Word of God. I must seek to do what God has said. I must search out His commandments in His book, the Bible, and understand what He wants me to do, how He wants me to live, the commandments that He wants me to obey. Divine ordinances are presented in the pages of the Bible. God has directed us how we can be saved and how we can live in favor to Him. We can't make up our own rules. We can't devise our own plan. We can only be saved by the righteousness of God. We will never do anything that will merit our salvation, that will earn our salvation. We will always stand in debt of God. We will always stand in need of His grace. But there is a word that must be obeyed. And through that word, Jesus has become our Father. Jesus taught us in Matthew 6 and verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The name of God is to be hallowed. It's not to be cursed. We're not to flippantly use the name of God as so many do today. They just cast the name of God everywhere and anywhere in such despicable, blasphemous fashion. The name of Jehovah is hallowed. And when we pray our Father, which art in heaven. Fathers upon the earth can fail us. Fathers upon the earth can forsake us. There are people living in the world today who do not even know their Father. But we can call upon the God of heaven as our Father. Matthew 23:9, call no man your father upon the earth. He means in a religious fashion, where we identify certain individuals to be higher than they should be. We place people on a pedestal. We give some men more honor than we do other men. We're not to identify people as father or rabbi or reverend or holy one. Call no man upon the earth your father. This passage is clear concerning the religious titles that many have, and by which many individuals who are identified. Call no man upon the earth your father, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Jesus, our God, is our Father in heaven. He is to be our only Father. We are to identify Him as Father and know Him as Father. In 1 Corinthians 8:5-6, for though there be many that are called gods, in Paul's world there were many that were called gods. We have many gods today. They're not made oftentimes of brick and stone. But we bow before the throne of money. We bow before the throne of success, before the throne of prestige. We give praise to what we have, to what we're able to accumulate. Though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God. Who is He? The Father. Of whom are all things. He's the Creator. He's the Reconciler. He's the Savior. One Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4 and verse 6, Paul said, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, God desires to be my Father. And at any moment of the day, I can call upon Him. I can call Him my Father because He is my Savior and my Creator. He has reconciled me unto Himself through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can know Him as Father. And I can talk with Him. I can walk with Him. I can know Him. I can commune with Him. I can tell Him every burden that is upon my heart. And through Him and from Him, I can receive blessings of comfort and strength and hope. I believe in God as judge. I believe that daily God judges the ways of man. I believe that He judges me, that constantly and daily He examines my life, and He determines whether or not I am living as I ought to live. But in Acts 17:31, as Paul was in Athens, as we have referred before, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He said, I will rise again on the third day, and on the third day the tomb was empty, and Jesus was alive, and there were witness accounts of His resurrection and Him being alive following His crucifixion on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. And that assurance guarantees us that there is going to come a day of accountability, a day of reckoning in which God will judge each soul that has lived upon the earth. He will judge the world in He will judge the world in righteousness. His judgment will be a righteous judgment. He will not be partial toward one more than the other, but He will judge each man, each individual, each woman, each child, according to the divine standard that has been set up and that has been preserved throughout time. Think about standing before God the judge and giving an account of our life. I want to come before Him having lived in the manner that He wanted me to live. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. God will judge the righteous, and He will judge the wicked. In the last day, the trump of God will sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall stand before that great throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I will give an account of how we have lived, what we have done, what we have thought, where we have been, how we have dressed, what we have said, all of the thoughts that have gone through our mind, all of the words that have been uttered by our mouth, all of the deeds that have been done in the body. God will judge. We will give an account. He will judge the righteous and He will judge the wicked. There are two classes of people in the world today. There are the righteous and the wicked. There are those who strive to obey God and walk according to His divine law, and there are those who rebel against Him and refuse to have anything to do with Him and who disregard His law in their life. They are the wicked. They will be judged. Romans 2 and verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation at the righteous judgment of God. Oh, what a day that will be. What an insightful day that will be. Many who thought they were saved will be lost. Many who thought they were walking according to the commandments of God will discover that they were not. We must follow this divine standard. We must live each day of our life in anticipation of the great judgment to come, where we will give an account of our life and we want to be found in the favor of God. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God is going to judge the secrets of my heart. I believe in God. I believe God is Creator. I believe God is Savior. I believe God is Father. I believe God is Judge. I urge you, believe in God. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.